If you're currently sideways with the IRS, make sure you check out Mark Milton. You have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night. Are you facing tax liens, bank levies, wage garnishments? And all you have to do is call Mark Milton. You can find him at stltaxlawyer.com. STL tax lawyer Mark Milton, widely recognized as one of the top tax resolution attorneys in the country, prides himself in helping individuals and small business owners. He's going to solve your tax issues. He is a proud alum of St. Louis University Law School, got his accounting degree from the University of Illinois, and if you have IRS problems, visit stltaxlawyer.com. Ben, Fred Fridays on Scoops with Danny Mac. Lots to get into. Hey, Ben, good morning. How you doing?
Happy Friday, Dan. Doing well. Welcome back home.
Yeah, it's nice to be home. We kick off a 10-game homestand tonight. You've got the Phillies, you got Wainwright, you got Wheeler tonight, and it's a weird series. It's a wraparound four-gamer, and then, you got the Dodgers, so that's going to be tough, and then you wrap it up with the Reds. So after this road trip and the huge win that the Cardinals had last night, and it really was a huge win, they needed that, what's your takeaway on the state of the Cardinals and where they're at right now?
Man, a tough road trip, right? And against tough teams that are trying to prove that they're going to be around and doing some damage in the postseason. So I think if you're the Cardinals, you've got to look at it a couple ways. One is, hey, it's a tough grind of the schedule with some teams that are hot, so you don't overreact. But I think you also have to look at it as this is a litmus test for the kind of teams you could be facing in the playoffs. So the Cardinals, and you and I have talked about this, I think it was last week where we talked about they've done a good job of beating up on the teams they should beat for the most part. Letting a series get away to the Cubs at home does not count. But for the most part, they've handled their business against teams they should beat. And this is maybe more of a reality check for what the competition could look like in the playoffs. They got to get healthy, and hopefully they're close to that with, Bader close and O'Neill close. Mats is pretty close, it sounds like. But I still think that, while their lineup could get there, their pitching it needs help. They need somebody in the rotation to be added to this thing. They probably need someone in the bullpen added. Maybe not if Hicks can and Helsley can keep throwing the fastest pitches in all of baseball and stay healthy there. But they're going to need some additions here arm-wise. And I think what this road trip did was it reinforced that. They don't need ace level additions. They need some guys who can give them 6-5 innings and a chance to win. And when they don't get that, it really can get series sideways on them pretty quick. So Atlanta's really playing well. We'll see what Philly looks like now. But we know how the Dodgers are. This has to be viewed as a kind of a test of what you need, need to shore up before the second half, because the Brewers are not going away, man. We talked about them looking kind of rocky and wobbly for a bit. They're not anymore, and they're a tough team. So the Cardinals have to pull themselves up, get rested at home, and the front office needs to get to work here before August 2nd.
How much do you think an extra wild card has complicated what the front office of not only the Cardinals but other teams and what they may want to do? Because you look at, for instance, doing the game last night in Atlanta, I was looking at the American League, and, there's six teams that have a chance. And we're not talking about the division leaders, but we're talking about six teams like within, I think it was like 4 or 5 games, Ben, and same thing in the National League. It was kind of crazy. So I do think that that's really interesting to see how that plays out, because, teams feel like, we go on a run, we get in, and once you're in, anything can happen.
Yeah, and I think if there were some more competitive teams, it would be really tough to try to talk trades. I guess the good news, and it's not good news for baseball, but it's good news for teams looking to deal, is there are some teams that are just totally out of it too. The Cubs are not expecting to go anywhere. They're poised to sell it off. The Nationals are 23 games back. The Rockies and Diamondbacks look like they're toast. Maybe it's a smaller field, but it sure seems like the teams now that have decided to cut bait and rebuild or tank, whatever they want to call it, they're not on the line. They're in that group. So maybe it's a smaller group of teams that are very much out of it, and maybe that drives the prices up. So I think that could complicate things, just more teams kind of being okay with kind of standing pat. But it just doesn't seem like in this day and age, there are a lot of teams that kind of leave themselves up to be figured out. The Cardinals are more of one of the teams that still do that. If they're not having a great season, they'll say, well, maybe we'll kind of hold tight and see if we can catch a run. Other teams seem more prone to say, hey, we're either in or we're out, and let's respond accordingly. And there are positives and negatives of both approaches, but it might drive down the number of teams you're looking at to deal with. What I think is as big of a concern for the Cardinals as that, Dan, is the number of injuries that are popping up.
Yeah.
And these pitchers. Last week, if we would have rolled out five names of guys who any team looking for a starting pitcher could be interested in, three or four of those guys are now dealing with some sort of ailment, whether it's a shoulder pain or a skipped start due to an issue. No one's rushing these guys to the injured list because they don't want to before they trade them. But some of the names that we would have, you know, wondered about, they're now a little bit of a question mark. And the last thing you want to do is pay the steep price of a trade for your rotation and find out you got somebody you can't use. So I think that is going to be the hardest part of anything, is the fact that it's going to be tough to know who's healthy, which makes the healthy guys that much more tougher to trade for because the price will go up.
No doubt. You love getting clicks on your stories, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that's why you threw out that bombastic story about Mad Bum. No, I'm kidding. I love the story.
It was like the tamest take ever.
I know. I'm giving you trouble. That's what I get to do on this podcast. So, I'm fascinated by him, and I'm fascinated in this. The peripherals, you know, when you start looking at some of the different things that you can judge a pitcher on, they aren't great. However, this is Madison Bumgarner. What happens with a change of scenery? What happens with some veterans around you? What happens with a shot at postseason play? And those cannot be measured. You know, that's the inside, the heart, the drive, those kind of things. That can't be measured with what you read on a website or off a page. So I'm really curious about the article, the response that you got from the fan base, and what went into your thought process with that. I really enjoyed it.
Well, what I should have written was pointed out that Max Scherzer has been awesome since returning from the injury list, and that's the guy the Cardinals should have signed.
Well, you did that plenty of times. You did that plenty of times.
I think that well has run dry, so I've got to move on.
I get it.
Here's what I like about the Bumgarner idea, and the reaction I got was a lot of people saying he's not worth the contract, the Cardinals shouldn't take that on, and I understand that reaction. But to me, the contract could be a benefit. And what I mean by that is if you're taking on that kind of a contract, you're not having to give up much in terms of prospect talent. And that's your counterbalance to taking the money off the Diamondbacks' hands. The Cardinals, they don't want to trade, you know, Jordan Walker. They don't want to trade Mason Winn. They don't want to trade any of these guys who've now jumped ahead of the prospect chain and are now helping this team at the major league level, because they're going to be a part of this team for a while. And they're making this year's team better. So one of the ways you can avoid that is to take on more money. I mean, heck, we were talking about this setup when the Cardinals left spring training. We said, look, they look like a team that could need a starter, and they should be in a position, especially after signing Pujols, in order to maybe, you know, add on to their payroll a little bit in terms of taking on a salary that a lot of teams are going to be looking to get rid of money because of, you know, not every team has responded as well after the pandemic as the Cardinals have, with, you know, robust attendance and interest and all that stuff. So that's kind of how this could potentially play out. What I like about Madison Bumgarner is he's healthy. He's made every start this season. He's guaranteed to give you at least five innings, which I know if this was 15 years ago, we'd laugh at. But five innings gives this team a chance to win. It's four and less that screws everything up. And he's you know, got an okay ground ball rate. He's striking out a decent amount of guys, more than some of the Cardinal starters currently are. So I think the baseline would be, hey, worst case scenario, he's a guy who helps this rotation like John Lester or Jay Happ or Wade LeBlanc did last season. Best case scenario, he goes back to the postseason for the first time since 16, and he's Madison Bumgarner again. And he's one of the most feared postseason pitchers, not when he was always pitching against the Cardinals, but against other teams, one of the most feared postseason pitchers of all time. So I think there's a little more upside there than just simply an innings eater. And did I mention that he's also healthy? Knock on wood for now. A lot of these other guys, Frankie Montas, some of the guys within the division, they're having bumps and bruises and aches. You just don't know how they're going to hold up down the stretch. And I think he's pretty realistic for those reasons we mentioned. The Cardinals have made trades with Arizona before. They know each other's systems. They're comfortable doing business together, and he's not in the division where the Cardinals have said like they're okay with making trades within the division and that they have tried to at some in the past, but they've never been, you know, that's never been well received. But I cannot imagine they're going to make any trades within the division. I just don't think that's going to be something they do.
And that's the difficult part because Tyler Mahle, you look at Castillo, if you wanted a catcher, he's with the Chicago Cubs. I mean, that's what makes it really hard. And I do think the human element plays into this a little bit where, you know, the Cardinals are careful with their prospects. I mean, there's no doubt Randy Arozarena has turned into a good player. Not to say that Matthew Liberatore won't, but you got to be careful. And Mo even admitted that. Remember that? He said, hey, we have to do a better job kind of evaluating our own people, what we have here. So it'll be fascinating to see what they do. Now, I go back to last season, though. They revamped their entire team with two guys in Happ and Lester all of a sudden inserted in their rotation. They get McFarland, who is just ridiculous coming out of the bullpen, and didn't have to give up a ton. So it can be done. It's just you got to get creative, and time will tell, certainly, if you keep your head above water, who's in it and who's not.
Right, and you don't want to see, to hammer that point home, it's bad enough watching Sandy Alcantara pitch for the Marlins, right? Yeah. You don't want to see him pitching for the Cubs, okay? Nobody would want that.
Hey, by the way, Marcell Ozuna had 52 home runs in 2 years. So it wasn't it wasn't a, you know, like a totally lopsided deal. The guy, they needed a middle of the order bat. Now, is it tough to see Gallen doing what he's doing and they flip that to get Jazz Chisholm and then all of a sudden Alcantara is the best pitcher in the league? Yeah, of course it is. But again, you got to give something to get something, and it's just that these guys have developed, and credit to them.
At the time, nobody wanted to see Jack Flaherty traded, and nobody was bemoaning the trade of Sandy. So we got to be a realist there, and the fit was there. Unfortunately for the Cardinals and Ozuna, it just didn't turn into a long-term arrangement that worked out. But that's the risk you take when you make trades. I think the pointing to last year is smart. I think, is there a way, I guess, to do that with a little more, maybe a little more upside? Wade LeBlanc, Jay Happ, John Lester, they were really good for this team. But is there a way to get that and get a guy who maybe you would be more comfortable starting in a postseason start? You know, even if you're in the wild card series, which the Cardinals should, you know, prioritize winning this division, but that series is 3 games now, so you're going to need some guys you feel comfortable starting. And remember, too, how those trades were made. I think there's this discussion going on with Cardinal fans where it's like if they don't – and they've been taught to think this way. If they don't trade Jordan Walker, then they're not going to be able to get anybody. Well, that's not true. Last year they got John Lester for Lane Thomas, who was very much blocked. Now you can argue maybe Lane Thomas turns into something with the Nationals. We'll find out. But he didn't have a spot on that team that season, so they dealt him for something they needed. There are guys on this team right now who are either blocked or are kind of repetitive, who the Cardinals could potentially find fits for and get something back in return. I mean, Lars Nootbaar and Alec Burleson are kind of repetitive players right now. You look at, you know, Paul DeJong is still in Memphis. Maybe somebody wants to give him a shot if the Cardinals will work on their end of the contract a little bit. There are some guys who are kind of floating around this team who are maybe on the outside looking in a little bit. A guy like Jake Woodford, who, you know, some other teams would probably be starting him regularly, and the Cardinals haven't really found that role for him. So can they deal from their kind of their major league roster in order to, you know, get some pieces they need? I think they can. And I think the main thing they're going to need is guys who can give them competitive starts or, you know, eat more of those innings in the bullpen. I say starting pitching, but really it's just pitching, because if you build the front end, it helps the back end. If you build the back end, it can help the front end. So arms are going to be what's a must, and we'll see how serious they are about adding them. You know, this is going to be a real test for, you know, what the theme was leaving spring training. And what the theme was leaving spring training was this season was not about simply celebrating Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina and potentially Adam Wainwright. It was about trying to get deeper into the postseason, and the moves that will be made before August 2nd are going to be an indication of how bad they want that, I think.
Because we care, your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
you have a waterproofing issue in your basement, Stratum Structural Systems is there to help. It's why they're the number one waterproofing company in the Midwest. They put the customer's interest first, provide lasting solutions, and eliminate the homeowner stress. StratumRepair.com.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Hey, Danny Mac for Ryan Kelly. Most of us have spent so much time in the house over the last several months, and you've been thinking, time for a change, new home, improvement. Do it with Ryan Kelly. He is the home loan expert. He'll get you in the new home you want in just a few short weeks. The five-minute loan approval, only available at thehomeloanexpert.com.
You and I both believe, at least I don't want to speak for you on this one, but I think you are in agreement. The All-Star Game, it shouldn't be this one counts, correct?
Oh, no, they should not. It's just an exhibition.
Okay, thank you. So having said that, why not put the players that people want to see? So, you know, if the fans vote Player X in, then Player X should be there. And I also believe, and I like what they're doing here, the commissioner's pick, and Cabrera is going to go from Detroit, and Albert Pujols is going to go from St. Louis, and it ties in to go to L.A., a couple of teams that he played for with the Angels and the Dodgers. It's the right thing to do. I've always felt that there needs to be a commissioner pick or two or three. You know, for instance, if you had, let's say, Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox all coming out at the same time and they've announced their retirement, then all three should be there, right? I mean, it's just, it's a celebration of the game. And if we want the game to be fun and we want to celebrate the game and the young players, let's get the people that we want to see. Let's get Hunter Green there. He's a great story. You know, there are people that need to be there that I believe. I think back to Baltimore and the young man that fought through cancer and has made it back and is playing great. I want to see him. I want that story to be out there. Those kind of things. And you know I'm talking about Mancini from a
True
couple
Mancini,
years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so those are the kind of things I think that we should be celebrating in the game. Yes, you should have the best there. But I don't see why it's a bad thing to, if you have to expand a roster to 40 or 45, I don't care. Let them get the introduction in front of a nationally televised audience and then let the TV crews tell the stories of some of the unique people that are at these games. And that's what I think is a celebration of the sport. And I'm thrilled that Albert gets the chance to go to the All-Star game. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Rob Manfred screws a lot of things up, but this one he nailed and he got it absolutely right. He can actually have more than one special guest per league. So he could have tacked Molina on there too. Now,
well, my guess is I bet he was
interested or even around who knows these days.
I think that's the key. You know, we're all waiting for his return to St. Louis, much less go to an All-Star game. So I would imagine that maybe was on the table, but who knows?
Yeah. I think that, it'll be interesting to see if we find out how much that was considered, but having Pujols there is smart. He doesn't need to play. He doesn't need to do anything. Just go be honored. I think the players will enjoy it. Albert has talked about when they did the Cal Ripken, Tony Gwynn honoring during one of his years, that was like one of the coolest experiences he'd had from the All-Star game. The players appreciate that. It's not celebrating their season. Clearly Albert Pujols doesn't quote deserve to be an All-Star this season. It's celebrating his career, and it also I think perhaps encourages guys to say when they're going to retire so then they can experience that, which that's good because it allows these guys to be their stories to be told and their careers to be put into perspective in one final season. So I do think it's good for the game. I think it would be a big oversight not to take advantage of that, and I will give Rob Manfred a rare round of applause for making a smart call here. And that if you don't think it's a cool thing, then I bet you'll change your mind when Albert Pujols is introduced there.
Place is going to go nuts. And it's, I think we have been desensitized to this a little bit. And I get, you know, ripped on by people say, oh, you're talking up Albert so much. You're doing this, that, and the other. Take a look at what this man has done. It's jaw dropping in the game. He's going to wind up probably passing Stan the Man in extra base hits to be third all time. He's almost got 700 home runs. The runs batted in, the runs scored, the games played, the hits. He's in the top five or top 10 of every category. There's been over 20,000 players that played this game. I don't think you can overshadow just how good he's been. And what I mean desensitized is that when he left, I'm not sure everybody paid attention to what he was doing. Now, initially, we probably did, and I don't know if you agree with this, but then as the time wore on, you probably didn't, you know, watch as much or pay attention as much. It's incredible what this guy's done. It's crazy.
Well, the numbers, when you hear them, are they just kind of drop your jaw. And I do think that there has been probably, because of the way his career kind of hit a wall, there have been some people who are maybe not as appreciative of it. But here's the thing is, St. Louis never saw any of that. They never saw any of his struggle. Now they're seeing some of it this year, but when he's used appropriately, he still can do a pretty good job, including if we saw that again in Atlanta. If you need a sack fly, he can pretty much get it done for you. And he knows, here's to me why people should take any of that, you know, hey, I'm tired of hearing about this stuff, and throw it out, because Pujols gets it. He's not saying, hey, I shouldn't be pinch hit for by a rookie, or hey, I should be in the lineup today. He probably has those feelings at times, but he has also stayed true to his word, and he's played the role the Cardinals have asked him to play. And he's looked at his, you know, what he can do well and what he can't with clear eyes. And he's been a great teammate. I mean, you hear from these guys, and they love working with him. They love talking through at-bats with him. He is bringing so much to this team, and it's such a jovial spirit. I really don't know how you could be cynical about this guy in the season that he's having with the Cardinals right now. He knew what the role was. He agreed to it. He's doing his best to succeed in it, and he's not getting bent out of shape if you know, his performance dictates some sort of other usage. And meanwhile, he's hunting down some big game numbers that when you pull them up on the baseball reference page, they make you want to fall out of your chair. So it's been a smart move. Whether it works out for him hitting playoff home runs or not, we'll see. But I don't know how anybody could be down on it. It doesn't mesh with me. And I think that, you know, people will see, if they don't see it from the reaction, they're going to see it from the fans of the All-Star game. But what they're really going to see is from the players. These guys are in awe of him. And it's not just the Cardinals. It's everybody around the league. He's their superstar, and they're going to get a chance to celebrate him. I think that's pretty cool.
I one of the guys that I really got a kick out of on this last trip, and you made a great point, Ben, was the young man, Matt Vierling from CBC High School. So he plays for the Phils, and he's back in town tonight, and he was a great athlete at CBC. He's been really good for the Phillies in terms of bouncing all over the diamond. They use him everywhere. So on the last trip, the most recent road trip, I went into the clubhouse and I introduced myself. How you doing, Matt? He goes, oh, Dan, I've been, you know, watching and listening to you all my life. And I said, well, congratulations. And we had a great conversation. And I said, well, who's your favorite player growing up? And he said, oh, man, Albert and Yachty. I said, that's great. I said, well, have you met him? And he said, I'm going to meet him at 2:00. And he said, I don't know what to say. And I said, well, Albert's been through this a time or two. You'll be okay. And he said, well, I was at third last night. He ran off the field. He was running by me. And he said, I almost hyperventilated. So, and then when they met, how cool is this? So Sam Coonrod is also a member of the Phils and a local kid. Yeah. And so they had set up a meeting with Albert on Saturday at 2:00. So Albert goes out, says hello, and then comes back, gets two bats, personally signs them to both those guys, and Matt said it was one of the coolest experiences he's had in baseball. He said it was just...
these are pro players.
Yes. And these are really good players that are in awe of Albert. So to your point, these guys are like, man, it's so cool to see him and talk to him. And he is... Albert's in a different state, obviously, of his career, but I think a different state of mind in terms of just how relaxed he is, embracing it, and also having fun. And I'll give you another one. I think it was in Boston. We were on the bus, and everybody was screaming, Albert, Albert, you know, come sign, come sign. And he got off the bus and signed everything. I've never seen him do that. I've rarely seen an athlete do that. Normally, they just, you know, kind of wave at everybody, get on the bus, cordial, and then they move on. He went and did that. So I've never seen him do that, and I applaud him for how he's embracing this. And I just think it's really cool. So I'm excited that he's doing it. And a couple other things I want to hit on this, too, is at the All-Star game, you got Mason Wynn, you got Jordan Walker for the Futures game. I think that's going to be cool, too. So St. Louis should be very well represented with the future and an ode to the past, which is Albert. That's cool.
And that's kind of what the Cardinals want to be about. They, you know, they talk a lot about not wanting to have good good years in blips. They want to be good, period. And when you can have a guy going into the Hall of Fame, being honored as a special guest of the commissioner, and you've got some studs in the futures game, that's a pretty good representation to do it. So here's the thing to watch with Wynn. Watch his arm. If you haven't had a chance to see it yet, the dude can straight whip it from anywhere on the field. He has got a rocket of an arm. And then Walker, you're going to watch the bat and you're going to probably be very impressed. What I will tell fans, because I'm already hearing it from him, is do not get stressed out about where he plays defensively. You don't have to worry about it yet. He can play a corner spot. He can play, he can go to the outfield, or he can just be a DH. You don't, the DH is here. You do not have to lose sleep at nights wondering about where a big bat in your system is going to play. We've seen that play out this season. The Cardinals had Nolan Gorman. The bat was ready. The defense needed some work on the fly, and he's getting it. But they're no longer going to let a guy being tip-top shape ready defensively stop him from helping them at the major league level if the bat plays. And that's one of the benefits of the DH. And I know people get honked off at me praising the DH all the time, but for a team like the Cardinals that has really found a good run of, you know, position playing talent that can hit, this is going to help them because it gives them a way to get those guys up and take advantage of their bat without having to start them defensively in the same spot or multiple spots every day. They can take a day at DH. They can bounce around like we're seeing Yepez and Donovan do. It's a good thing for the Cardinals and this boon of offense that they have coming up.
Let's shift gears. What did you think of the Blues draft? They have traded Ville Husso. They had what, the 23rd overall pick? And you never know about a draft, but I'm just curious just the thoughts on Husso and generally speaking, also the Tarasenko situation and how this may play out. So that's a lot to hit you with.
Well, the draft pick, the first round pick, appears to be impressive. I think everybody expected the Blues to go defense and probably would have if it had gone chalk. But at some point you take the best player. And I think this young man that they got, Snuggerud, I believe is his name. I think that based off of what I've read and the hockey experts, they think he's a very talented offensive player and could be a top nine forward for a team in the future. So the Blues have so much talent there. A little more never hurts, and you take the talent over anything else when you're picking at 23 and there's a guy there that you didn't think was going to be around. So the Husso trade, it makes a ton of sense because the Blues were not going to be able to bring him back next season. They probably would have liked to, but somebody was going to give him a chance to be a number one. And this gave him a third round pick in order to do it. You think you take your hat off and you tip it to Husso because he really saved the Blues bacon last season. Jordan Binnington reproved himself in the playoffs. And remember, the Blues have Charlie Lindgren, who I think they feel like is ready to be that number two. And he was thrown into the fire last year when the Blues were thinned out by injuries and COVID, and he played pretty well. Chucky Sideburns could be the number two this year with a chance to maybe get his run in the sun if Binnington has another stretch where he kind of forgets how to be a goalie. So the Tarasenko stuff, good luck, man. At this time last year, I thought for sure he was going to be traded. He wanted out. His agent was poisoning the well at any chance he got, bashing everyone from the team doctors I think the Zamboni driver got on that list at one point.
Oh yeah.
It was tough. And you just thought, man, Armstrong's going to have to deal him. It's too much of a distraction. No, Armstrong held on. Tarasenko, to his credit, showed up, buried it, and had a great season. Well, now, after all this talk about Tarasenko not wanting to be traded anymore and rescinding the trade request, well, now there's reports that he didn't do that. And there's going to be more of a market for him. So I think last season, Armstrong didn't have a good deal to make if he wanted to. Remember, Seattle passed over Vlad in the expansion draft and could have had him for nothing and didn't take him. So now there will be teams that want him. There'll be more demand. And I guess if Armstrong feels like, a guy doesn't want to be here, then maybe you take the salary cap space and use it to help your defense or use it for other ways to help your team. So, he said at the end of last season, he said he wasn't worried about, the Tarasenko stuff this offseason, but what he didn't say was he was for sure going to be back. So we will see. I'm officially retired from the prediction business with Vlad, but he's pouring a little gas on the fire by tweeting out cryptic photos of large bodies of water after not tweeting for a month. So he seems to be having some fun with it.
How about finally college football realignment? What do you think of this? What's taken place this past week?
I mean, by the time people listen to this, there'll probably be, you know, two more new teams that bolt to the SEC or the Big Ten. It's crazy. And I remember vividly Missouri leaving for the SEC, and it felt like such a massive deal. I mean, it took a year plus to kind of come to pass. And there was every step along the way, there was nothing that was able to be kept in secret. And now you just got teams like USC and UCLA jumping to the Big Ten with a tweet. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I guess the way we're going, Dan, is it's going to be two mega leagues, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC. I think if you're the Big 12, you're really smart to try to pick up anybody who doesn't get in and try to maybe become like a third, maybe 2A or 2B league without maybe some of the titanic powers, but still really good and really big conference. And that's probably smart for the Big 12 to try to continue to do. But any sense that this is going to cool off or stop or slow down, I don't think that's probably going to be the case. It sure seems like it's an arms race between the Big Ten and the SEC. And I think it's, you know, I don't think we know, it's all being driven by these TV contracts and where they think they can get this money from. And if you feel like it's going to be a race, then you're better adding than waiting. And there's a lot of fear. So I don't think it helps college football fans. I think they're going to miss the rivalries and the history and the divisions, but they're not being asked to vote on any of this stuff.
Absolutely. All right, Post-Dispatch, you guys will be busy this weekend, I'm sure, with the Cardinals, huh?
Yeah, we'll be there at the ballpark, and we got the Blues draft moves and trades covered up at STLtoday.com as well. And pretty soon, we got to get Dave Matter back from vacation. He's enjoying some hard deserved time off. And we'll have some college football stuff coming up. It's SEC Media Days are right around the corner, and we'll have Dave filing some updates from Atlanta as we figure out what the future of the SEC looks like.
All right, buddy. Thanks for doing this as always, and we'll catch up, I'm sure, this weekend at the ballpark and as always on Fridays. Thanks for doing it.
Sounds good, man. See you soon.